holy and righteous God, we ask for your presence here at our services. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray unto thee that thou would open your holy and precious word for us, that we might be strengthened in faith, that we might be comforted and encouraged to continue on this way that leads unto life eternal. Dear Father, we pray for blessings for thy kingdom, that thy holy and precious word would be able to shine brightly in our midst. And we pray that we would have hearts to receive this word, hearts of a disciple. Open, dear Father, our hearts to hear, and our ears to hear, and our hearts to believe that very powerful and living word. Dear Father, thou knowest all things. We have come here today with our own trials, our own cares, even doubts that fill our hearts. But we have also come with joy, the joy of being part of thy kingdom and having the hope of eternal life. Speak unto us closely. Divide unto us the bread of life in such small portions that we, as thy children, receive something to nourish our journey of faith and strengthen us so that we would not fall short of that destination of life eternal, but would be able to find strength in the core of the gospel, the power of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and blood, but also find power in the total gospel message which teaches us and encourages us that each of us one day would be able to lay down the staff of faith and to be able to enter into the rest of the children of God to await that resurrection victory. Dear Father, we pray for our nation, for those that lead it, for our fellow countrymen, most importantly, that we could live a time of peace and be able to gather together freely into the hearing of thy word. And so again we ask that thou would bless the work of thy kingdom, that this message of hope, this message of life, would go forth into our country, into our communities, with those good words of the gospel, that sins can be forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, and that in so believing, peace can come to the heart and to our nation. Dear Father, our nation has fallen very far away from the teachings of thy word. And so we pray that thou would awaken in the hearts of our country, our fellow citizens, the need to find thee and to find thy kingdom. For we know, dear Father, by experience, that the power of the gospel in our lives is very great, very remarkable, that we as great sinners still have the hope of eternal life through the redemptive work of Thy Son. We thank Thee, dear Father, for Thy Son, who has gained that victory for us, that we can have this hope, and have this hope as a real and lively hope, the hope of eternal life. Dear Father, we thank Thee too for all temporal blessings, those things that belong only to this life, but are not needed in that life which is to come. But they are from Thee. You have given them to us according to Thy wisdom and according to that which we can be able to receive and still remain in faith. Dear Father, we pray for those that suffer in some way, those that are troubled, those that have great trials, that Thou would be with them and keep them through the power of Thy Word and through the preaching of the Gospel. And we pray, even as Thy Son has taught us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, this day the text are appointed to that theme of being a neighbor or our neighbor. And it is good to think about that part of our life. We have neighbors in God's kingdom and neighbors that are of our community. God's Word teaches us to love in that love that is of God, and to love our neighbors spiritually and temporally, to help them with those things that they face. Love, to love one who loves us is easier than to love one who would be against us. So may God help us when we face those situations, as even the earlier believers faced when the kingdom of God was opposed forcefully and with violence, but yet the children of God were able to love those that opposed them. But I thought to read a different text that came to mind, mostly I would say because of some reading and studying that I have done more recently, but certainly the text and the subject is important, and that is the subject of prayer. And the disciples at one point had that question or that request of the Lord Jesus, that, Lord, teach us to pray. We would not know what to pray for if He did not teach us. And He taught us in that prayer that we have already prayed this morning, the Lord's Prayer, all those things that are so important for us, but are so deep, we could say, and so rich, that if it were left to us as human beings, we could not possibly have known to ask for such good things, nor even to believe that we could call upon the Creator of all, our Heavenly Father, and think that He who has created all things and who has given us life and hope, that we as small, wretched beings can call upon Him for those things that we need. So we read from Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 8 and reading unto verse 14. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We pray, dear brothers and sisters, that the Heavenly Father would open unto us His Word, that we might be strengthened and encouraged to continue in faith. But it is, we can say, such a precious matter that we are the children of God and have the hope of eternal life. And the words, or similar words, that Paul often proclaimed come to mind, that grace, mercy, and peace be unto you now and always. It is a great message to have that hope, that the grace and mercy of God would be ours, that we would be able to continuously and unto the end of our journey own this hope of eternal life, the grace of God. But I thought that we should maybe just read and or study only a few petitions from the Lord's Prayer. We have read all seven petitions, and you confirmation students, I would guess, had studied the Lord's Prayer more closely when you are at confirmation camp. Now that confirmation is over and you have begun your life in a different stage in God's kingdom, you have now begun a different phase as young adults, but you will continue that walk of faith, continue to make that journey towards life eternal, towards heaven. And we want to encourage you to continue in faith, continue to put away sins as sins attach, and to be part of God's kingdom, to encourage you too, to use those gifts that God has given you and may develop further in you, that you may grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The text that, or the petitions that I thought we could read more closely, even relate to this matter of life in God's kingdom. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, done in earth as it is in heaven. Of course, the Lord's Prayer contains so many things, and I'm sure that many of you parents have not all. When you put your children to sleep at night, you may recite this prayer. And in Sunday school today, I'm sure you did so as part of Sunday school. But there is so much contained that we could not possibly think of all the things that could be said about this prayer, because it is that perfect prayer that God, through His Son, has given us that defines all of those things that we need, both for body and for our spiritual life. But when we think of this petition, "Hallowed be thy name," it is contains at least two high points, we could say, or two very central points. One is that the Word of God would be preached in all its purity and all the power that the Holy Spirit gives unto us, that it would be preached as the Word of God. In this way, God's Word is hallowed among us, that we hear this Word, and that it is proclaimed with that power that God gives unto it. It is important, dear brothers and sisters, to think of it, because we know that without the Holy Spirit, the Word of God cannot be properly proclaimed. Its understanding cannot be found. But God's Spirit gives that power and that light unto us so that God's Word is preached that way. And that we, as the children of God, that we live our lives according to it. That we could say, always refer back to the Word of God and to ask that, what does God's Word say about this matter or that matter? Or how would God's Word guide me in the decisions of life that I face? And so it is for you confirmants too, if you can think of it this way and you can receive it into your hearts when you go forth to become adults, which you are now, young adults, and when you become the future mothers and fathers and leaders of God's kingdom and workers in God's kingdom, and also when you face everyday life, which brings its trials and temptations, that if you could think of it this way, that I could recall those lessons of confirmation, those things that I was taught, and how do I, as a child of God, make this journey of faith? What would God's Word say about being a mother or a father, about accepting children, about many other things, about life in God's kingdom? What does God's Word teach us? And of course, it means that we must be familiar with God's Word to read it and read the books and the publications of Zion that explain the Word of God to us and how it applies in our life. We as older parents or grandparents or singles, we have the same duty. We perhaps have lived longer in God's kingdom, but we have the same need to seek out the counsel of the Holy Spirit and seek out the understanding that is found here in God's kingdom in the many matters that we face. But it starts with that point that the Word of God is hallowed when it is taught and it is preached in its truth and purity to the kingdom of God, then we can receive it into our heart, and we can trust that it is that light of God. But it also means that in our lives, that we would lead our lives in a way that is guided by God's Word. The Holy Spirit is a teacher that teaches us both in our hearts as a home teacher, and it teaches us in the congregation too. But it teaches us to live in a way that is pure and brings honor and glory unto God. And it teaches us to reject the things of this world that are contrary to the keeping of faith and a good conscience. So we ask that God would help us in these things, that we would be able to keep faith and a good conscience, that our consciences would not become so overcome by unforgiven sin that we could not make this journey, but that we would be shipwrecked in faith. So it is so important that we care for the matters of conscience and hear time and again that blessed gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and blood. We as elders have found that that gospel message has been powerful in our life. Someone recently asked this question, that how do we know that this is God's kingdom? And the thought that came to mind was simply this, for my part. Of course, there are many proofs we could say in the Scripture, but on my personal experience, it has been this, that I have experienced the power of the gospel in my life to journey here with you, the children of God, and the power that comes when one is able to put away sin and become relieved of the burden of sin. But as one who has been able to travel to many foreign mission trips, it has also been that way, that I have saw the miracle and the power of the gospel of the forgiveness of sins when those that had no knowledge of God's kingdom had no training, we could say Christian education, but yet they had in their heart that need for peace of God and for the washing away of sin from the conscience. That when we have been able to preach to such ones that believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, that a miracle has happened in their life, and a new creature new birth has begun, and that a new creature, as the Scriptures say, has come to life and started that journey of faith. So when trying to answer that individual's question, that how do I know that this is God's kingdom, I know it from that point at least, that there is power in the gospel that we proclaim here. And it is not found anywhere else in any other faith or religion, but it is found here. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. Thy kingdom come. This is one of those petitions that we pray for, of which we have even discussed the power of the gospel and God's kingdom. But we pray that we could always be part of God's kingdom, that we could see it in all her beauty as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, though, too, each of us included, are faulty. We have our own quirks, we could say. We sometimes speak out of place. Sometimes we say things that maybe aren't necessarily exactly true. But we all believe in the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit unites us. But I think it's important to realize that God's kingdom cuts across a broad cross-section of people. Some, as we bring our own understandings at times to the table, we could say, that aren't always so closely founded on God's Word. But it's important that even though we have differences of personality and differences of approaches, and some are more open and some are more quiet, that this is God's kingdom, even with its faults. And the kingdom does not have faults, but we as individuals have faults. It's important to realize that we would have love one for another, that we would in love carry each other, that we would put the best of construction on what others say. But it also means this, dear brothers and sisters, that we would care for one another, that we would speak one-on-one at times, if need be, with one another, to ask for clarification. What did you mean? What is the intent of your heart? And instead of gathering in a more private circle to see the faults of God's kingdom or individuals in God's kingdom. But love teaches us to help one another, to have the mind of Christ, that we would not see a brother or sister straying and not open our mouths or go and talk to such a one, so that we could all be preserved in faith and one day reach that destination of life eternal. That's what God's Word teaches us, even at God's kingdom. And especially in God's kingdom, we can say. But it is, of course, quite difficult to do, to humble ourselves, because we might be wrong in what we think, but to go and ask of a brother or sister that, how is it with you, or do I understand things correctly? But this is also the beauty of God's kingdom, that we can make this mutual journey of faith. And we can speak freely in the congregation to of those things that we have questions of. Then we read, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." I think that for each of us, when we think of this petition, we probably think firstly of our own life and God's will in our own life. That do we understand what God's will is? And is it God's will that such and such happened? And I myself can say that I've never fully understood or known for sure in many matters, was it God's will when I made this decision or that decision, and so forth? It's a very hard thing to know in some cases. But in Father in Faith Luther, when I read what did he understand of this petition? What is at the very basis of it? That thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And it surprised me that he did not speak about any of these more personal things that I would have thought of. But he spoke on a broader basis, that the God's will would be this, that his name would be hallowed, and that his kingdom would come, and that it would be that way in our life, in our generation, and in our country. We can say more personally. Because why? Because we are challenged by the enemy of the soul, who would not want the Word of God to be preached in all its truth and purity. He would not want us to live according to that Word. He would not want His kingdom to be here upon earth or in our community. He is continually assaulting those us through and the kingdom of God and the Word of God. So we pray that the will of God, which is that it would be preached, it would be taught, it would be believed, that that would be the case, and that it would not be overthrown either in our lives or our congregations or in our communities by the work of the enemy of the soul. That is what Luther taught on a broader basis. What is most important, and I think we'd agree when we think of it, that is so vital. Where would we be if it were not for the Word of God? If it were not for His kingdom, where would we be in our lives? We have God's Word, and we have God's kingdom, and we have brothers and sisters in faith, and we have a precious congregation here, even in Kulkato, where we can share our burdens and we can share those things that trouble us. Is it not a great gift to us, dear brothers and sisters, that here is the kingdom of God and we are living members of it? Surely we face difficulties in our lives, even as you confirmation students will likely also face. It would be nice that we, as your friends and parents and relatives, might say that life will be beautiful for you. Everything will go just perfectly, that you will have no sorrow, you will have no trouble, there will be no trials for you. But we know, once we sat in your place, once we were the newly confirmed students, and we perhaps had the same thoughts that you had, but also the reality we can say of a child of God is that we go through life, we'll face many things. But we have the power of God's Word. How can we explain how some mother or father or family has had great adversity, or some individual single brother or sister must face difficulties, but yet they've been able to endure? They've been able to continue. They've been able to reach the destination. It does not make any sense to our carnal mind, our intellect. How can it be that one can endure such great trial and tribulation? It's not a power of the individual, but it's the power of the Word of God, the effect of the gospel in our lives. That is how we make this journey. That is how the troubled, how the poor, how the tempted, how each of us are able to make this journey towards that homeland shore. Because we know, dear brothers and sisters, no matter what happens in this life, that there is a better life to come when the staff of faith can be laid down, when the tired traveler can take rest, and when we can be one day received into Thee, that eternal rest and services of the eternal life and that eternal kingdom, that kingdom that cannot be overthrown by anything that the enemy of the soul would bring. It cannot be overthrown. It's unconquerable, even though kingdoms come and go through the history of this world. The one kingdom that has remained from the beginning is the kingdom of God, because great is our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and powerful is that word that He has given unto us, and all-knowing and all-seeing is that Spirit that He has given to be in our hearts and to be in the congregation, the kingdom of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, is it not bring comfort and hope to our hearts that we as wretched beings, as sinful, let us then be assured, dear brothers and sisters, that our sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood, and that each of you, as you would find yourself today, can so believe. Perhaps you feel very weak. Perhaps you feel the grace feelings that come through the power of the gospel. Perhaps you feel very cold in your heart. The most important thing is that you believe personally that all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And I ask that blessing for myself, that assurance of the gospel. Can I hear that gospel for myself? I promise to believe. Let us conclude with the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I add that come freely unto the Lord's table to be refreshed in your faith and to be a partaker of that meal of unity. Amen.